Hey, good morning. We continue in Sefer Yeshua. We have left the Amorites running for their lives under the crushing hail, miraculous hailstones that were left over from Egypt. And we're on Pasuk Yud Beis now. So if that wasn't enough, as they say, again, we have another one of these verbs that intrigue us. Oz yedaber Yehoshua l'Hashem. Then Yehoshua, literally, it means then Yeshua will speak to Hashem. It's the same as Oz yivne Yeshua samizbeach. Yeshua will build a mizbeach. Same idea. So the way the Art Scroll will translate probably is that's when Yehoshua spoke, not will speak, right? But be that as it may, that's when he spoke. B'yom teis Hashem es ha'amori lifnei b'nei Yisrael, on the day that Hashem gave the Amorites before the Jewish people. So that's when he spoke. We don't know what he said. That's the end of that clause. Oz yidaber Yeshua l'Hashem. That's when Hashem spoke. To Hashem. So, Mitzvah David says, B'shem Hashem. He spoke in the name of Hashem, who bishluchuso, and with his being a messenger of him. And he said, you know, it's what's going on now. So, alright, so it's whatever. It's a little bit tricky. I mean, that's not the simple shot in the pasuk at all. So, but anyway, Vayomer le'enei Yisrael, and he spoke to the eyes of the Jewish people. Again, it's an interesting way of writing it. Again, this could be, he spoke to Hashem, and he said it before the Jewish people. Could be said it before the Jewish people. This is what Yeshua said, and he said it before the eyes of the Jewish people. Because people don't listen with their eyes. Here's the famous line. Shemesh b'givon dom. The sun in Givon dom should be silent. V'yareach be'emek Ayalon. And the moon in the valley of Ayalon. That's it. That's what he said. Again, very, very intriguing pasuk. Why he is doing this, what he is trying to accomplish by saying this. Again, you should have your little map around somewhere, the Southern Conquest, so you just realize what's where we're at over there. We're after step three, and you can see where Givon is and where Ayalon are. So all kinds of technical issues here that are very, very difficult to deal with over here that I don't think we're going to do. But Givon and Ayalon aren't that far away to have the sun and the moon be in the same place, which is something, a technical issue that has to be worked out. But he wants them to stay in their place. Now, why he would want them to stay in their place, we will have to see. Okay, but that's what he says. That's what he says. So what happens? Yud Gimel. Vayidom HaShemesh. And therefore, the sun was silent. V'yareach omod, and the moon stood. Ad yikom goy oivov, until the Jewish people fulfilled their mission of avenging against their enemies. That's how long it did. Now another very intriguing clause. Hallo hichzuva. I'll say for Yosha. And isn't it written in the book of the upright? What's written in the book of the upright? And Taka, what happened? Vayamod Hashemesh b'chatzi Hashemayim, and the sun stood in the middle of the heavens. Lo atz lavo kiyom tamim, or kiyom, was that a kaf or a base? And mine's rubbed down. Kiyom tamim, and it didn't hasten to go down for a full day. Wasn't in a hurry. Okay. So some say it's 24 hours. Others say it's the longest. Big machlokes in the Gemara, exactly how long the sun stood. But the sun did stay in its place. Okay, one more pasuk just to give you the full flavor. There never was a day like this before and after. Lishma Hashem bekol ish. For Hashem to listen to the voice of a man. Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael, because Hashem fought for the Jewish people. So, what does it mean? Never happened that Hashem would listen to a person for such an outrageous thing. So, the truth of the matter is very, very difficult. All three psukim are very, very difficult. So, all very, very difficult psukim. And, no, Hashem never listened to any tzaddik to do a miracle before. He didn't listen before to any miracles. He didn't do miracles for Avram. Moshe, as a matter of fact, Chazal tells us when Moshe fought Sichon, he did the exact same miracle. He kept the sun from going down prematurely as well. We know the famous story with Nakdimon Ben Gurion, who the Jewish people did not have water. It was a big drought. So he went to one of the Roman noblemen, officers, whatever, big Roman guy, who had tons and tons of reservoirs of water, huge, huge wells of water that he was selfishly clinging onto. And Nakdimon Ben Gurion asked if he could, if the water could be given to the Jewish people. And he said, you know, what are you going to give me for it? He says, when are you going to pay me back? Whatever. So they made arrangements. He'd pay back at a certain time. And I forgot exactly what the deal was. If you don't pay me back at a certain time, it's going to be really bad for you. And if you pay me back, fine. Anyway, the kitzer, comes the day of the payback. Ain't no money, ain't no water. The sun is about to set. Ain't no money, ain't no water. The Roman governor sees it's about to set. It's mamish about to set. So, looks I'm going to go to Nakdimon and collect all my money. Takes a bath. When I come back, So while he's in the bathhouse, Nakdimon, you know, prays the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it starts to rain. But the problem is, if it rains after the sun sets, he will have not given him the water at the time he's supposed to give him. So Hashem, so to speak, brought back the sun, so to speak, and made sure it rained in time. And when the Roman general came out, everything was full. Everything was full. So you see that even for Nakdimon Ben Gurion, who's much, much later than Moshe and Yeshua, Hashem did these kinds of things. So it's a difficult question to understand. So let's now the obvious first question that we're going to analyze is, there's a lot of issues over here. What's this Yeshua speaking? Who's he talking? What's he talking? It's a very, very brief prayer. It's a six-word prayer. Hashem basically wants the sun to stand still. As if there weren't enough miracles today. Like, stick a chutzpah, you know. We pummeled them away. You threw hailstones at them. So I want another miracle. So we'll have to see exactly what that means. And what's this idea? Isn't this written in the book of the righteous? What does that mean? What does it mean? It never happened such a thing like this before. So you have three pages that I gave you. They're not in order. There's so many pages here. You've got to be a little selective over here. And so we'll start with the first page. Should be page Kuf Yud Ches. And it's on these three psukim. Kuf Yud Ches, the upper right hand side, the third line. Neis gadol v'atzum hoya bayom teis Hashem es Amorim lifnei bnei Yisrael. An awesome miracle happened on the day that Hashem gave over the Amorites before the Jewish people. Nishtanu sidre breishis. The arrangements of Genesis have been totally changed. Hashemesh amda bimkoma. The sun stood in its place. B'chatzi Hashemayim, in the middle of the heavens. Limshicha b'malach ativik hayom tamim, and like a full day, it didn't go in its normal orbital path, or the earth rather. V'rak Hashemesh, not only the sun, elagam ha'morakot, even the small light, ha'yireach, the moon, amad bimkoma, stood in its place. Kol abriya netzar, everything stopped. Yom Aruch is such a long day. Lahoya od lefan have never happened before. Ulachav after it's b'chol mahalach historia shel amino noshi. During entire human history, such a thing never happened. Well, it's interesting. Included now, you got to realize that the sun did not go down in Givon. What was going on in the other hemisphere? What was going on in the Western Hemisphere? So, extended daylight over Israel must mean extended nightfall somewhere else, particularly in the Western Hemisphere. So, this book over here really brings it from a Victor Miller Sefer as well. It says that it's interesting that such a phenomenon did occur at about the same time and was duly recorded in the annals of ancient man. Among them, the lore of the American Indian, the Hindus, Chinese, Buddhists, and other ones I can't even pronounce, the account of old Egyptian chronicles. Victor Miller brings all this down. He says, the Aztec tradition in Mexico notes that in approximately the year 1400 BC, which is roughly the time of Yeshua's conquest of Eretz Yisrael, quote, the sun failed to rise for a whole day in the city of the gods. Another place I can't pronounce, north of Mexico City. Likewise, it failed to rise for 20 hours in the Andes, according to Inca legends of the same period. Okay, and it's interesting. I mean, we don't need these proofs, but it's just interesting to know that occurred at the same time. So it was another shocking event that the world takes note of over here. Okay, so. Keep reading over here. And to such an overt miracle and one-time shot that never happened, Yeshua merited that with his prayer. What is that? That Hashem listens to the voice of a person. So the first question of many questions is, what did Yeshua need another miracle for? He did pretty good. He said, pretty good. You know, God gave him a pretty good miracle there. Throwing the bara down like that's like pretty good. That's pretty good. So what did he need more for? V'chilo dailo b'neis avne al-gabish. It wasn't enough with the miracle of the hailstones. So if we look carefully at these psukim, there's two reasons why it seems to be needed. If you look very carefully, and the author always looks carefully. So b'ksuvim remuzo shtei sivos. If you look in the text that we just read, there seems to be two reasons. If you look carefully, it said, "Vayidam Hashemesh v'yareich amad." The sun was silent and the moon stood. It said, "Ad yikom goy oivav," until the Jews took revenge against them. So that's point number Aleph. It says, "Ad yikom goy oivav," until the Jews took revenge. It's there in Pasuk Yud Gimel, until he took revenge. And then, it says again, the sun stood in the middle of the heavens, and it didn't hasten down, right? And there wasn't such like that. Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael, because Hashem was fighting for the Jewish people. So those seems to be the two reasons why this happened. Why are the two reasons? I mean, it's very hard. I mean, it's repeating itself, why the sun stood still twice. There's a whole schmooze over here. You know, according to some opinions, it stood still while it was up in the middle, but then later it sank down and then stood still at the place where it was like over the horizon. Because if the sun would have been up at high noon the whole time, the soldiers would have collapsed from what's going on. Remember, they went the whole night traveling. Remember the surprise attack? Remember? They hadn't slept the whole night. Okay. And now, for another 24 hours, it's going to be incredible. And you can imagine this is in Tammuz. Right? This was in Tammuz, if I'm not mistaken. This is in the summer in Israel. Go for a tuyul in Tammuz at noon. And noon doesn't change for 24 hours. And you haven't slept the whole night. Wow. So it seems there were two settings, two haltings of the sun. First, when they needed a lot of light, you know, they kept it up in the middle for a good while. And then it's getting hot, so the sun came down just right at the tip of the horizon, just giving you light, but not beaming down on you. And it's like that for a while. So therefore, there's two expressions. It didn't hasten. It stood in the middle and didn't hasten. There seems to be two pauses of the sun for periods of time. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, if you notice, especially by sunset, that's when it's really more amazing. In the middle of the day, okay, it's there, okay, it's up in the middle, okay, it's hours and hours, it's amazing, but okay. But when it's mamish hot, at sunset, you know in Eretz Yisrael, sunset's lickety-split. More than anywhere else that you know of. Once the sun's coming down, it's down there so quick. So, and it's just sitting there for hours and hours and hours. So anyway, so what do they need this miracle for? So you got the two reasons here. And he's saying, Hatzarechu gam masi v'gam emunasi. The need is, one is masi, practical, and one is for spirituality. V'chinomar anavi Chabakuk b'tfiloso, Chabakuk says it in his prayer. Look at the very hard psukim over here. But it's basically referring to the fact that Hashem kept the sun from going down. But let's skip a couple lines to the Chazal in Dvarim Rabbah. V'chinomar Chazal and a rabbi say a similar concept. Yadati ki kol asher yasa lakim hu yelom. I know that whatever Hashem does, He'll do forever. All of ein lahosif, there's nothing to add on to Hashem. And in brackets, it brings in Koheles, and memenu ein lagroa, you shouldn't reduce from what Hashem makes. Elokim asa shir mufon, Hashem made the people should fear before Him. In other words, the world really doesn't change. Kach, the Medrash said, that's the pasuk in Koheles. So the Medrash says, Kach barak adish baruch hu olam, this Hashem created the world. Yom she yom, v'lai she laila, day should be day, night should be night. Guess what? Boy, Yeshua comes along, v'asa laila yom, He makes the night day. Shenemer shemesh b'givon dom, that the sun stood still in Givon. What does the Medrash conclude? Hareisha tzadikim gorim u'mosifim al dvaros al kodesh baruch hu. That tzadikim can take away and add on to the words of Hashem. Why? Kidei shiyu habrios yiran milfonov. That so the creations of the world should have fear from before God. In other words, that's the concept over here, and that's the psukim are saying. If you look carefully, that's what Koheles is saying: that everything Hashem does should be forever, but and you shouldn't add on. But you know what? If a tzaddik really makes such a decree, Hashem will listen, so that the world will fear God even more. So let's see what does all this mean. So tchilasa shel melchamas givon b'chilutz ha-givonim ha-garim ha-grurim miyad avim. The beginning of the war was a war for Givon, to rescue the Givonites, which are really these lowly quasi-converts, from their enemies. Aval, as we've mentioned many times already, aval ritzono shel halichas olam lo, that's a reference to Hashem, but the will of the one who makes the world go in the way it's supposed to go, and it all belongs to Him. Was, as we've said, Shehis Asvusam Shal Chameshis Malachei Hamori B'Mokam Echad, the gathering of the five Emirate kingdoms in one place, B'Givon, Tiasibon V'Apolosom, will be the reason for their downfall. Kvit Varvsh Al Yeshua, like Hashem told Yeshua, Al Tirmim, don't be afraid of them. Kibiot Chonasadim, because I put them in your hands. L'Yamanish B'Em, if Anachman will stand before you. And also, V'Take Al Yisrael, and should be easier for the Jewish people, B'Kiyam Mitzvahs, the Mitzvah of Virash them, so you'll chase them out. V'achreim tachreim, you'll utterly destroy them. V'yalotzu yilavo al kol yavir, they won't be forced to go to every city. V'asum ala motzor, to make a siege. V'lahakos kol achas l'chud, and to kill each one individually. Right. So yeah, Joby, we have the new sheets. We got, no, it's right on the table there. So Hashem yisbarach rotze shiyakas kum b'makachas, Hashem must give one shmites in one shot. Ad Yakum Goyoivov Kasher Navi Maskim Asal Mucham until it wipes them all out, as the Navi writes at the end of this parak. Veskal Malachim Elav Esaretzim Lokin Yeshua Bamachas. Yeshua destroyed all the kings and the cities in one shot. Klaimer, meaning to say, Shlohutzrich Lotzur Alir, they didn't have to make a siege on the city. Vlarich Yimei Mucham, the days of war weren't so long. Elba Bamachas Lok Tukum, he destroyed them all in one shot. Zos Acher Zos, one after the other, will have to go to stop. That's the way he's quoting the Radak over there. And if you really take a look at the scenario over here of what would have been necessary over here, this Amechakim, the distances, Migivon, from Givon, and then take a look at the various cities that are on the different maps that we gave you, from Givon to Lachish and to Hebron, if you go from one place to the other, these are great distances, even though on the map it just looks like a half an inch. These are kilometers. You have Givon is the circle number 5. It depending, this map really, in certain ways, is many, much better. It has all the cities, while the other one doesn't have all the cities. Well, no, it's, okay, it's different opinions. It's on both maps. You'll see, line number 5 goes all the way. You have Lachish on the Southern Conquest map. It's on the lower left-hand side of the map. See Lachish next to Eglon. On the other hand, you have Hebron on the other side, clear across on the other side. So these are great distances. From Givon to Hebron to Lachish. You know, okay, in a car you could do it quickly. But when you're traveling with troops, things go very, very slow and you're fighting enemies as well. It's a long trip. It's going to be more than a day's journey. Each trip to go from Givon to Lachish and Lachish to Hebron, going on by foot. This is a trip. So it's more than a day. I already learned that while island at night, you can't chase after the runaways at night. Because people run away, run in every direction. And the Malach already taught Yeshua earlier on in this book, you don't fight at night. So when the sun will set, that's it. And it appears they had not yet finished the job. It was an outstanding victory, but there would be a lot of cleanup to do. And more than that, a lot of the people who would run away would run to their cities. And they'd get in the cities, lock themselves up in the cities, and not have to go to every city and clean it all up, which could take a long, long time. So therefore, Hashem didn't want them. This is the whole theme of the whole chapters we've been saying, that Hashem wants Yeshua to knock them all off in one shot. So Yeshua sees that it's not going to happen. And by this time, you see, you'd have to sense that Yeshua finally chapped what's going on. In other words, they lost an eye. The Givonim tricked them. Yeshua is beginning to doubt himself. You know, could he's throwing? You know, everything Hashem does is for the best, but he hasn't yet seen the best, and all the armies are massing against him. But when they begin to have the victory, and Hashem told him not to worry, and then he sees that Hashem is pelting them with Barad. Then he kind of realizes it that the Ratzon of Hashem is that we got to knock these guys off really fast. Right? But even with Hashem and the hailstones and everything, he isn't going to get it done as quickly as Hashem wants. What do you mean?
First of all, it's only noon.
No. But he knows what he's got to do. He knows what he's got to do. The hail may have stopped at that point. He realizes it's not going to be enough time. So therefore, he davens to Hashem that the sun shouldn't set so that he'll be able to finish off the entire job in the next, before the sun sets. It's got to get done today. Now it's interesting that, when Avram Avinu, remember we said there was three times when the entire world, huge, huge armies were all gathering together to fight the Jewish people. What was the first time? Avram Avinu with the four kings. What do we know about Avram Avinu with his battle? He chased them up north, and then he kind of got a little weak and couldn't finish. It was night, and he was chasing them at night. He couldn't finish the job. Because I'll say, he passed, I'm not trying to remember where he passed. He passed up north. He passed by Don. And when he got to Don, where the future Egel Hazovs would be put up by Ram ben Avot, he got a chalishus. He couldn't go further. He lost his strength, so to speak, to go on. So this was a major war, and Avram couldn't finish off the job. He couldn't obliterate all those kings that he wanted to obliterate. So for whatever reasons, he couldn't finish it off. So in this case, Hashem wanted Yeshua to finish it off. Although we'll see, even with all the miracles, he doesn't really finish it off. And then the third time is with Gog and Magog. Remember we said there's three times it's all. So by Gog and Magog, Mirtz Hashem will be able to finish it off. But therefore, Yeshua knows it's my job is to keep going. So let's read the next paragraph. So, Benitzachon Kazeh, with such a victory, Hayim Yishum Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam Hakumi, in the non-Jewish world, this was an amazing sanctification of God's name. That's what it says at the end. That pasuk, it says, "Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael," because Hashem is going to fight the Jewish people. Kadeshu abrius yari milafanav, so that the creatures should have fear before Hashem. So therefore, amnam heim ro'bo seyom neisacher. But they saw even another miracle. So many miracles going on over here. Hashem hishlach al aborchem avonim gedolos min hashamayim. Hashem throws down hailstones from the heavens. The truth is, Hashem could have pulled them all down with this miracle. Could he just kept the hailstones going? He could put them away with enough hailstones. God's name would be sanctified as well. Right? So obviously, you know, Hashem stopped the hailstones. But what does he add? Avolim came, but if so, lohoye be a dayim shall yisro l'kayim mitzvahs achreim tacharimam. It would not be in the hands of the Jews then to have fulfilled the mitzvah of totally obliterating them. And that was the will of Hashem who gave the Torah, as it says in Sefer Tvarim. The Torah is telling you when you're going to go to battle, right? What does it say? V'nasat Hashem l'kechel v'nech, Hashem will give them before you. V'humam mehuma gedola ad yishamdam, you'll confound them, a great confounding until you destroy them. And it will give Hashem will put their kings in your hands. You will obliterate their name from under the heavens. And later on it says as well, Hashem will give you them in their hands. You will hit them. You will totally destroy them. So there's a command for us to destroy them all. It's a command for us to destroy them all, not for Hashem to destroy them all. So that wouldn't get fulfilled if Hashem would knock them all off with these hailstones. So therefore, Yeshua sensed he needed to be able to do this, all that had happened. So that's what he says. There's two reasons. The pasuk says, "Ad yikom goy oivav," until they avenge the enemies, which the point was to knock them all off, and also to finish the Kiddush Hashem. Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael. And this will mamish show that Hashem is like mamish everywhere. It's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's happening over here. So therefore, Yeshua sensed that it was an auspicious time to have a shtickel chutzpah. To have a shtickel chutzpah and to ask for the sun not to set. Because he's now finally totally aligned to what Hashem is doing over here. He senses what Hashem wants. And if that's what you want Hashem, then you need to pull off another miracle. And I'm going to make it a very specific request. You keep the sun where it is until I finish the job. That's what happened. The Midrash Matsanu Otosefes. Those are already a couple of reasons. Now the Midrash adds something very interesting. Tosefes Lasibusel, an added thing for this. Very interesting. It says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Miyom Shenivru Shemayim Baretz. From the time that the heavens and the earth were created, Hayirech V'Kochvei Mazolos Olim L'Hoyer Al Aretz Veinam Arim Zemizeh. The sun, the moon, the stars. Rather, the moon and the stars. They all go up in the heavens, they illuminate the earth, and they don't make any fights with each other. You know, they do what they're told. Achibo Yeshua v'asam l'chamtam shal Yeshua. So Yeshua came along, and here's the interesting point. The Erev Shabbos hoisa. It was Erev Shabbos, and they're fighting. V'ra Yeshua b'tzarasan shal Yisrael. And Yeshua sees the anguish of the Jewish people. That they shouldn't be Machal Shabbos. They were so upset. Oh, what are we going to do? We have to fight the whole Shabbos to finish up the job. The sun's going down. Right? Even if the sun goes down, so they'll stop fighting tonight, but tomorrow morning they got to continue the fight. Right? But oh, and another reason. Okay, we're not going to elaborate into that one. It seems that the sorcerers of Mitzrayim, the Amorite midstream sorcerers, were trying to conquer the constellations, and they're coming against the Jews. Seems that they were doing some of their hocus pocus themselves. So Yeshua, what did Yeshua do? Pashat Yoda Lor Hashem, and he stuck his hand out to the sunlight, Ulor Yerech into the moonlight, Ulor Kohem into the starlight. He mentioned Hashem's name, whatever that means, whatever Kabbalistic things happened. And they all stood for 36 hours until Matzah Shabbos. And that would make sense. You have 12 hours of a normal day, plus the whole 24 hours of Shabbos. So it's 36 hours till much of Shabbos. As it says, Vayidim HaShemesh, V'reach HaMadak, Yikam Goy Oivav, etc., etc. And he finishes off the Medrash. V'sham HaMalchi Eretz, the people heard this, V'tumon, they wonder, Shlohaya Kamom, Yom Shemom, there never was such a day for this. So we see that there's added reasons why he asked the son to say. It seems that so number one is because the Jewish people felt bad about this. They're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. Number two, it seems the sorcerers, if the night would come, then all the stars would come out, and maybe the Egyptian sorcerers would have some power over them. If they don't come out, they can't have any power over the stars. So therefore, whatever, that's a much more Kabbalistic type of thing I hear. So that's the end. There's one more page on that, but I didn't bother to copy for just a few lines over there. He says, this was an unbelievable day. The enemies are running away like crazy. The hailstones are beating down on them, right, as they're going down the valley. The remnants are trying to run to their fortified cities. And Yeshua is chasing after them. And I'm sure the guy's running away thinking, okay, it's soon going to be nightfall. Soon going to be nightfall. We're going to hide under cover of nightfall. And it's just never nightfalls. And Jews keep chasing after them. So like unbelievable miracles that happened over there. So the Mefarshim do ask a question. What was so bad? They're worried about being Mechal Shabbos. What was the problem? When did they conquer the city of Yericho? For Shabbos. They didn't feel bad then. They didn't feel bad. Right? They started Saturday morning. They walked around seven times. So they had to do it. They didn't feel bad at all. What do you mean they had to kill all the people? Well, the whole city fell on Shabbos. They went and they killed everybody. That's pretty good, Chil Hashem. I mean, Chil Shabbos. I mean, you're allowed to do it. I'm saying you're allowed to do it. It's part of the mitzvah. But they didn't seem so upset. So in the Musar Zavim, he says a very nice pshat. So he said this war was a little different than the other war. Because this war was not for them. This war was really, initially, was not for them. They came to protect the Givonim from the other nations that went to fight against them because they made a peace treaty with the Jews. Right? Okay, so really, it'll becomes also a Jewish battle. But it really was, right now, is a battle with Givon. Interesting. They weren't attacking the Jews in this battle. They were attacking Givon. Givon's asking for help. Okay, so therefore, they really didn't have to. According to the letter of the law, they didn't have to protect them at all. Right? But they went to go beyond the letter of the law. So they were figuring, so what are you? What you need to do, you Mechal Shabbos. Hashem tells us to go around Sichon, to go around Yericho, and Hashem's telling us to do it on Shabbos. And this is part of the Jewish conquest of the land of Israel. Okay, can't argue with God on that one. Right? But now the Givonim are the ones asking for our help. And Yeshua comes and offers to do the help. So even though Hashem said to Yeshua, you can go and fight, but the Jews kind of felt, this isn't really our battle. So, we feel bad being Mechal Shabbos in such a battle. We're going with the Mishur Zedin. So Yeshua said, okay, I see you feel bad about being Mechal Shabbos, so let's do something about it. And in the course of that, we'll also be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim as well. So that's why they were worried. So you see that it's very interesting. They were worried about Shabbos. And, it kind of, I always feel this is like a little hint that, somehow our dear wives, somehow when it comes about a couple hours before Shabbos coming, like they are totally not ready. Like they're not going to make it. Not because that they're not on top of things, but Hashem always gives you other things that you have to kind of go lifnei mishuras hadin to do. You're getting ready for Shabbos and then a mitzvah here comes up and a mitzvah there comes up. Well, men are very, very calculating and have everything precise. Well, we can't do it. There's not enough time before Shabbos. Some of the women, they have big hearts and they do all kinds of mitzvahs. Right, always Friday afternoon, they're driving the husbands nuts. And they're saying, don't worry, we'll be fine. And the husband's worrying. And somehow, it's like the sun sits still. And somehow, the husband's, okay, I'm going to the mikvah. I'll see you later. I can't stand to be here for the last 2 hours of the crazy finish. I'm going, in the Shabbos afternoons, okay, it's 6:20, I gotta go to daven, I'll be back at 8:00. And like you said, there's no way she's gonna have Shabbos ready. There's no way. And some of you get home, everything's ready. It just happens. So it's not that the sun is actually standing still. It could be two ways. The sun can stand still, or God gives you tremendous yata d'shmai to get a million things done in a very short period of time. So it's like, you know, Hashem sees, you go lifnim mishur sadin. You go beyond the letter of the law, Hashem will go beyond the letter of the law. And somehow things, you know, how are you, you know, the guy, I still have to go to Sobeys, I still have to do this, and there's traffic, and this and that. So I don't know how I did it. In an hour, I was able to do it all. Right, so you see that's, if you're doing this for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will give you certain degrees of siyata d'shmaya. The truth is, Yeshua really wasn't into this at all. The Medrash says that when they asked for help, so Yeshua said to himself, he said, for these low-down, disgusting, conniving people, I'm going to get the whole community to go out to battle. It was not exactly a popular cause. Like Yericho was exciting. The second battle with Ai was exciting. You know, these are people who tricked us, and we made a peace treaty with them. And now we got to do the peace treaty with them? And Yeshua's kind of saying, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a like the right thing over here to do, right? So the Medrash says, Hashem said, Yeshua, if you push away that our ones are far away, at the end you will push away the ones that are close. He said, look, where did you come from, Yeshua? Okay, now this is machloikis exactly what happened, but this, according to this Medrash, he says, didn't you come from converts? Okay, what tribe is Yeshua from? Ephraim, right? Shenemar, it says, and Yosef and had children in Mitzrayim that were born to Osnas Bas Potiphera, Menashe and Ephraim, and it says for the Mata Ephraim by the spies who went out for Mata Ephraim, Yeshua ben Nun. So what's Hashem telling to Yeshua? You know, the truth is, you know, the Givonim are far away. And the truth is, they're not the greatest people to deal with. But you know what? But you shouldn't push them so far. Because if we push this far, who knows what you can do with the people that are close to you. In other words, you know, it's hard for a person to make boundaries. Hashem knows, Hashem exactly knows who to push away, who to bring close, when to push someone away, when to bring someone close. Hashem knows exactly how to do this. Right? But when people are involved over here, if we start pushing away the ones that are far away, you know what's going to happen? We're going to end up pushing away everybody. And the truth is, you yourself are lucky, because had Yosef pushed away, he wouldn't have had any kids in Mitzrayim. And he figured, you know, you got to be makar of people that are very far away. Very far away. Even though it doesn't seem to in our best benefit. If you bring close the ones that are very far away, then the ones that are close, Mir Hashem, you won't push them away either. Once you're in pushing mode, you're in pushing mode. You push those away, you'll push a lot of people away. If you're only worried about yourself. You gotta know, sometimes you gotta bring close those ones that maybe don't deserve it. But if you're bringing close mode, then you'll be bringing close, you know, when you have to also. Maybe you don't think you should be bringing this guy close. Okay, maybe yes, maybe no, but you know what? It's not gonna, as long as you're not, of course you can't go beyond what's allowed. Beyond halacha. Remember, the Givonim, they did make a treaty, and part of the treaty was to keep them alive. And it's like, they weren't doing anything wrong by defending them, but it's like, who's interested in defending them? You know, they're terrible people. I made a promise, you know, and it's within my rights to kind of say I'm busy. But Hashem says, no, you know, you never know. Help them out. It's good to bring people close, even if you don't think they deserve it. Because there'll be a time where if you'd be in the pushing away mode, you'll push away close people. And you yourself, you see, you're the product of Yosef. And Yosef brought close instead of pushed away. And that's why you're around. So in other words, Yeshua was, really didn't want to get involved in this. And he said, okay, Hashem, you're telling me to do it. I'm going to do it. So now he says, and we have to be Mechal Shabbos too for these people. That far I got to go, I can be Mechal Shabbos for them. Okay, so Yeshua's kind of saying, you know, I did what you wanted, Hashem. Now you do what I want. Okay, and you see that Hashem listened to him. So you see from this that a lot of times that, you know, Hashem pushes us in certain ways. We don't understand why he's pushing us in these ways. But at the end of the day, if you have bitachon and Hashem, things usually are coming in a way where they're supposed to be. Even to the point, you could turn around to Hashem and have a shtickle chutz for him and say, okay, you know, now it's your time to do this for me. It's all, and ultimately it's all for you anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's this for? And why should we have to be Mechal Shabbos to get this done? So Hashem said, you know, you're right. You know, you did a lot already. Why should I make you suffer to be Mechal Shabbos? So Hashem made sure it was taken care of. So it's a confluence of reasons here. It's not just one reason. It's not just that it wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. But there's so many things to make a Kiddush Hashem in the world and to finish it all off in one shot and all the things that were going on over here. And finally, you see that, and Jewish people, why should we lose from doing this too? And Hashem says, okay, you're right. He does this as well for them. Okay, so that's the idea of why the sun doesn't set. And this is the amazing, I mean, we're not done. We've got to finish off the parak. But this is, you can already see that this is like unbelievable. Like, and this is what Hashem was all, as we said last week, he was all putting all the steps. He was putting the steps for the most incredible, miraculous finish, exciting finish to the end. You know, this was Super Friday. It was Super Friday. It was like an unbelievable Friday. It was like a real good Friday. It was like unbelievable, a 36-hour Friday. You know? I'm just saying, it's like an unbelievable Erev Shabbos that Hashem brought over here. And Hashem was preparing the whole world for this Erev Shabbos. This amazing Erev Shabbos. You know, the whole idea of Erev Shabbos. What's the whole idea of Friday? You know? It's Friday is the sixth day of the week. So therefore, it's the sixth of the lower spheros. In other words, Sunday is Chesed, Monday is Gvura, Tuesday is Tiferes. So what's Friday? It's Yesod. Yesod is Friday. Which one of the Avos, which one of the shepherds is Friday? Is Yosef. It's Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik. And a descendant of his, Yeshua, is doing this on a Friday. Right? But what's the whole idea of Yesod? What's the whole idea of Yesod? What's the meat of Yesod? Yesod is bonding. Bonding. And the part of the body that corresponds is the sexual organ. It's the bonding. In other words, in everything you do in the Ratzon Hashem, you've got to be able to bond things together. Everything's got to wind up being good and b'shalom and everything. And and you have to be able to bond. And that's the idea of Friday. What's the idea of Erev Shabbos? You're trying to bind the 6 days of the week to Shabbos. The 6 days of the week are so far away from what Shabbos is. So far away from what Shabbos is. And then there's Shabbos. So how can you come from the weekday to Shabbos? It's just, you can't. It's the gap is so great. You know, it's unbelievable. So what do you need? You need Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is the day of Yesod, where you bind the lowest things. And that's what a tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik. What's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is able to combine the lower realms with the higher realms. That's what a tzaddik is able to do. Yosef HaTzaddik, he goes out to Mitzrayim, it's the lowest of the low. And he's bringing the highest of the high. And he's bringing civilization and menschlichkeit and all this. And that's what he did to a great extent to Mitzrayim. To be able to bring Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim. To bring the holiest of people into the lowest of lands and somehow to merge them all. That's the power of Yosef. That's what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik isn't somebody who just stays in his dalat amos and does his tzaddik business while the rest of the world goes down the drain. He's able to bring in that rest of the world and connect it to the higher world. That's what Yesod is all about. After everything you do down here, it's got to connect up there in the most meaningful way. So you have all these days of the week. They're so low. But they're all meant to connect to Shabbos. So you need Friday. You need that Erev Shabbos to be able to connect it. And that's really what's going on over here. The whole world fighting against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you got the Jewish people. So Yericho was Shabbos. Yericho was Shabbos. It's an unbelievable war. But who is Shabbos for? It's just for us. At the end of the day, it was just for us. We got a lot out of it. But we weren't like a tzaddik yet. Shabbos is Malchus. Wonderful. It's the epitome. It's everything, right? But that's for us. What did that do to the rest of the world? What did it do? At the end of the day, they just want to fight us all. And it's when we're in our world of Shabbos, we don't really impact on the rest of the world. It's not that big of a kiddush Shabbos. It's amazing. It was this and that. But it's more for us. Remember, Shabbos is a gift to the Jews. It's not a gift to the non-Jews. A non-Jew cannot understand what Shabbos is. They don't relate to Shabbos. They were a bunch of idiots. Crazy people. We keep Shabbos, right? But that was Yericho, was Shabbos. But it's not enough. We got to get the whole world to really understand this Rabbeinu Shalom in this world. So now Hashem has to bring for over these next 3-4 months all the difficulties, all the problems. Why? To get them all together. Get the whole world together. And then Hashem says, and now is Erev Shabbos. We're going to get all the lower parts of the world, and we're going to get them to connect to Shabbos. To connect to Shabbos. And it's good. And it's talking something that's a very long Erev Shabbos. It's a very long, till everything happened, and with the Barad, and with the sun, and everything else. But at this point, now came the unbelievable Kiddush Hashem, and that is on a Friday. That's on a Friday. That's the ability to connect, and that's why Yeshua, descendant of Yosef, it's on a Friday. That whole meeting of Yisod, where now the whole world had to appreciate this HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't just say, you know, okay, the Jews, you knocked out a major power like this. And just like in Mitzrayim, Hashem knocked out a major power. So that's what happened on Erev Shabbos. And if we go into Shabbos, it would be missing. Be missing. It had to all be Erev Shabbos. And no, that's the goal we're in now. Right now we're in Erev Shabbos. We're such a long Erev Shabbos. Hashem's keeping the sun up so long, this Erev Shabbos. Should be zeicha that we should finish up the job already, this Erev Shabbos. So we come to the Shabbos. We should give the Shabbos that Mashiach should come here via Amenu. Amen.